here this morning and want to invite you at this time to open up your Bibles with us to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to keep talking about the subject of favor. We're opening our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. On the screens, if you can go to Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13, that would be great. In your Bibles or iPad or iPhone or Kindle, whatever your mode of transportation is, open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 16 on the screen, Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13. While you're turning, I want to encourage all the men here to sign up for our men's events. You've probably seen the sign-up tables all around the church. We have two coming up. One, not tomorrow, but the next Monday, we are having our monthly Power Up. Power Up meets the first Monday of every month at 7 o'clock in the morning over at Table 100. And during those sessions, we have breakfast, but we also interview a Christian businessman. And I'll be doing the interview, and I ask them how they have achieved success in their career and how God has impacted their career and also their life. We want success here at Word of Life. I want you walking in success, but I want you doing it God's way, not the world's way. When God blesses, it adds no sorrow to your life. And so we want to interview Christian businessmen who have seen the hand of God at work in their life and in their careers. And so you don't want to miss that. It's $8 a person. You can sign up for that. The $8 just goes to cover the food costs. So we want to encourage you to do that. Once again, it's not tomorrow, but the next Monday, 7 o'clock at Table 100. You can sign up at any of the sign-up spots all around the church. And then not only that, we have our Mighty Men event coming up. We are excited about that. It's in mid-May there on a Saturday from 10 to 12. We're going to be having a great crowd breaker. We're going to do the Mighty Games and find out who is the mightiest man here at Word of Life Church. We've got some neat stuff that we're going to ask you to do. May the odds be ever in your favor. Anyway, we're going to be putting that on as a crowd breaker. Then we're going to have praise and worship where we praise and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to get up and talk about how to provide for your families. As men, it's our job to be a provider. In the book of Timothy, it instructs us to provide not only for ourselves, but for our families. So no matter where you're at in your relationships as a man, maybe you're single or maybe you are married, I think it'll be well worth it for you not only to get here, but to bring other people here. I've got a message that's been stirring on my heart for quite some time now that I think will be a blessing to you in that arena. We've already got about 250 men signed up. We want to encourage, and that's without pushing it. So ladies, I think we're going to beat your record. But anyway, subject for another day. But we encourage not only the men of Word of Life to come, but if you want to invite other men to come, they can come. They just need to sign up first. That event is free. There's no charge for it. We even feed after the message, after the service. We put on free food and fellowship. All of it's free, and it's a meal, not a snack. It's a meal. And all of it's free. It's because we want to be a blessing to the men of Word of Life Church. We want you to rise up and be the men that God has called you to be. So these are tools to help you with that. If you want to be a part of it, come on out, but make sure you sign up first so that way we know how much food to get. In the book of 1 Samuel here, we've been talking about walking in the favor of God, walking in the fog. And we've been talking specifically about what the favor of God will do. If you weren't here for our past messages, I encourage you to get the CDs or download the MP3s for that, for those services. I think they'll be a blessing to you. But we were talking about how God's favor is a tool that he has, that he wants to give to you to help you in this life. It's not his will that you struggle with anything. He wants you winning as a family unit. He wants you winning on the job. God wants you to have victory in every area of your life. And if there is any struggle, the favor of God can help promote you. I love that point we made last Sunday that the favor of God, once it came upon Joseph's life, the Bible said it made him a prosperous man. And we said that word prosperous means to have progression, to have promotion. If your life seems stalled in any area, one touch of God's favor can help it be promoted and help you make progress. And so today, we not only want to look at the life of Joseph, in fact, we're not going to look at him at all. We're going to look at another example that in the New Testament, when a man named Stephen was preaching in the book of Acts, he named this individual as well as someone who experienced the favor of God. In fact, this person to me, out of all the people I studied in the Bible, probably experienced the favor of God more than any other person. The person that he made mention of in that message in the book of Acts was a man by the name of David. And we're about to see the favor of God come in David's life. And what's interesting is when we think of these Bible characters, we think of where they ended. Noah building a great big ship and saving the earth from destruction. We think of Abraham and how his story ended, or Ruth, how her story ended. And we see them in that light. And with David, it's no exception. We know him as the greatest king Israel ever had. The Lord fighting his battles for him, David and Goliath. But before all of that, David was just a shepherd. There was nothing spectacular about his life, nothing spectacular about his occupation. Just a shepherd boy working a normal job. In fact, that wasn't even the job he wanted. See, all of his other brothers, they were in the military, and he wanted to go there too, but because they were all older than him, they got to go, but someone had to stay and watch the sheep. And it was David's job. And not only that, but even when Samuel came and said, "Jesse," which was David's father, "there's a king in your house," Jesse didn't even think enough about his own son David to invite him from the sheepfold. So I want you to see that when we think of David, we think of great, big, and mighty David. But he didn't start out that way. He started out as just a shepherd boy. And what I want you to see from this is that no matter where you're at in your life, when the favor of God comes on your life, friend, it's going to cause your life to make progress. That no matter where you're at now, it can take you to God's best for your life. And that's why we need to believe for the favor of God. Here, when we're reading just now, David is still with the sheep. This man named Saul, who was the king over Israel, he's dealing with some issues that he knows only anointed praise and worship can solve. And so he asked his servant, "Who in the land can play under an anointing?" It's one thing to play music. It's another thing to do it with unction and anointing from God. And so he asked his servant that, and the servant, of all the people in the nation of Israel that he could have called upon, said, "There's a man named David who I think could fit this position." And so David is fixing to go before the king and just play music for him once to help him out. But watch what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 19. It says, "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse," David's father, "and said, 'Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep.' And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, 'Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight.'" Now, notice what happens here. David is a favor finder. And here we see David. He's just going to do one job. And this one job doesn't seem like it's anything of lasting value. He's just going to play an instrument for Saul during this season of Saul's life. But as soon as Saul sees David, he doesn't just see him. He sees him with the eyes of favor. God put his favor upon David. And notice what happens. This job that looked like it was only going to turn into maybe a one-day deal, when God's favor comes upon David, Saul decides, you know what? You need to do more than just play for me. You need to be my armor bearer. The armor bearer was the closest person to the king at that time. No one closer to the king than the armor bearer. He went with wherever the king went. And so with this, we see that David went from just being a shepherd boy all the way to a job of high esteem. How did he get there? It was the favor of God. Now, once again, God's favor didn't just do this for David to make David's life better. God's favor will do that for you, but it's more than that. God's favor came upon David's life to help David fulfill his purpose. And what was David's purpose? His high calling was to be the next king of Israel. So where are you going to get training to do that type of job? You work with the king as his closest associate day in and day out. Friend, the favor of God put David from this place. Took him from the just a shepherd boy all the way to this job of high esteem. But it didn't end there. When you read the story of David's life, you see God's hand of favor with him wherever he went. And David was not a perfect man. In fact, David had some serious flaws to him. But God's hand of favor never left him. His life kept making progress after progress after progress until, like I read this morning for my own devotional, it says that David died full of good days in old age, full of honor and riches, and his son Solomon carried on his kingdom. It's a beautiful life. How did he get there from just being a shepherd boy? How did he get all the way there? It was the favor of God. Friend, why did David walk in that much favor? Success always leaves clues, and of all the people who wrote in the Bible, we probably see almost David's writings more than any other. You see his life not only in 1 Samuel and all these other books and Chronicles, but you also see his life in the book of Psalms. You see David pen psalms and pen words. And one of the ones that he wrote, and I think this is a secret to tapping into the favor of God, is what he said in Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13. He says, "What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living?" The King James says, "I would have fainted unless I would have believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." And here's my point. David was someone who God put his favor on. Well, why did God pick him out of everyone else? I would dare say it's because David was looking for it. David was looking, believing to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And if you want to increase in favor, you've got to do the same thing. You've got to put a demand on that favor. I'll give you an example. In the New Testament, there were a lot of miracles that never would have happened had not people put a demand on the power of God. I'll give you an example. Jesus walking down the street, a throng pressing around about him. He's going to Jairus' house. A woman with the issue of blood hears about him, hears that he's coming. She presses through the multitude, touches the hem of his garment, and when she touches that hem, she is made perfectly whole. Jesus would have kept walking if she didn't get out of her house. And a lot of times people are waiting for God just to be good to them. But friend, I'm telling you, God wants to be good to you, but he is in our lives all the time. But his power can never be on display until we put a demand on that power. David was a man who framed his world with favor. And that's my point number one this morning. If you want to increase in the favor of God, frame your world with favor. What do I mean by that? If you've ever seen a picture frame that holds a picture, there may be a lot going on in that picture, but it's the frame that keeps it together, a frame that holds it up. And when I say frame your world with favor, what I mean by that is there may be a lot of things going on in your life right now. Believe to see the goodness of God in each one of those areas. Begin to put a demand upon God's goodness in your life. You could put it this way, be in the market for God's favor. Have you ever heard that phrase used, or maybe you've used it yourself? I'm in the market for a Ford Explorer, or I'm in the market for a new home. Where that comes from is we actually all go to markets, although today we go to grocery stores, things like that. But when you go to the grocery store, typically you'll have a list, and in that list you're looking for something. You're in the market for something. And I know whenever I go to the grocery store, which I try to do, I try not to do as often as I can, I'll get a list from my wife and I'll go all over that store looking for something until I find it. Why? I'm in the market for it. And when you're in the market for something, you'll keep looking for it until you find it. Why? That's why you went to the market in the first place. If you want to see more of the favor of God, be in the market for God's favor. Look over your life and begin to look for the favor of God in each one of your areas of your life. Well, how do you do that? You got to talk about God's favor. One of the things that I love about David, when you read his Psalms, he's always talking about the goodness of God. Probably no more so than our favorite Psalm. I'm sure all of you in here know it. Psalms chapter 23. We all know that Psalm. We all could quote it. But I want you to see that with this Psalm, this was not just David writing a scripture. This is the confession out of David's mouth. This is just how David talks. I would take the time for you to turn over to Psalm chapter 23, but my wife found a video a couple of days ago where someone was quoting Psalms 23. She showed it to me. I thought it was pretty cute, so I think I'll show it to you now. Let's go ahead and play that video. Isn't that cute? But think about what David wrote in that psalm. Once again, this is not David saying, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to write a scripture. That was just the way David talked. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. This is the way he talked. The Lord, you know what? He's my shepherd. I shall not want. David framed his world with favor. When you read the Psalms, you see David talk about some hard times he was in, but he never ended with talking about those hard times. He'd talk about them, but say, you know what? The Lord's going to come through this. He's going to turn this around. Though my enemies rise above me, he's going to turn that situation completely on their heads. He would always end with talking about the favor of God. If you want to increase in God's favor, you've got to start putting a demand on that favor. If all you can do is wake up and quote the 23rd Psalm, that's a good place to start. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You could just keep adding things after there. I shall not want for provision. I shall not want for health. I shall not want for favor. I shall not want for grace. You could just take that and run with it. And as you put a demand on God's favor, you'll see more of God's favor in your life. My second point for increasing in favor is this. Open your eyes to the favor that is all around you. Open your eyes to the goodness of God that God has already shown in your life. Open your eyes to the goodness of God that is in your life right now. Let's go over the book of James. We'll see this point here. In James chapter 1 and verse 17. And if on the screens, if you can go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 35. We're going to the book of James in our Bibles. James is in the New Testament right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1 and verse 17. on the screens the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 35 through 36 in the Amplified. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, the scripture says, every good gift, not some, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Notice the scripture and really take it to heart. Every good gift and every perfect gift, it has come from God. Friend, if there is anything good in your life right now, anything good, a good relationship with your spouse, good health, good eyesight, a good job or a good promotion or a good home or good groceries in your pantry, whatever it may be, if there's anything good in your life right now, it is because God gave it to you. Friends, and what we have to do with this is to really take the time to see if it's good, it came from God. It's not because of luck. It's not because of coincidence. It's not because I've worked real hard or because I've got a Sims family work ethic. No, if it's good in my life, it's because it came from God. Open your eyes to the goodness of God, the favor of God that is already in your life. You know, we gave an example when we first started this series, kind of poking fun, just having a good time, talking about how favor can do more than just get you a good parking place at Walmart or give you a sale at a store. But friends, while at the same time we know that it can, we still need to be grateful for even those little things and observe that that's God's favor in operation in my life. There's an example in the Old Testament of the favor of God coming upon a group of people, the children of Israel. And you know the story. They were in Egyptian bondage for a long period of time, and God finally came to deliver them and bring them out of that bondage. But before they left, he did something for them. God gave these people favor. And watch what the favor of God did in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 35. It said, the Israelites did according to the word of God, or word of Moses, and they urgently asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and of gold and of clothing. Verse 36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they gave them what they asked, and they stripped the Egyptians of those things. Think about this. When the favor of God came upon the children of Israel, these people, the Egyptians, who did not like the children of Israel whatsoever, immediately their heart became turned towards them, and they started doing good things for them, giving them some of their possessions, blessing them with some natural things. Well, what did that? It wasn't just the Egyptians saying, you know what? You know, we mistreated you all these years. We want to be good to you. No, it was the favor of God that did that for them. It was the favor of God that opened up those doors of blessing. So when something good happens in your life, don't just credit it to outside sources or credit it to yourself. Credit it to God. Friend, God wants to pour out his favor in big ways. I'll give you an example of some that I've heard recently. I got a CD from a preacher who lives in Texas, who just a couple of months ago was in Australia in the month of January, I believe. And he was preaching in Melbourne, Australia. And he was talking about what we're talking about today, believing to see the goodness of God. And one of the things he got the people to do was to write down what they were expecting to see God do in the year of 2012. And so you can imagine a lot of people wrote different things. But one particular businessman wrote down he wanted God to help him pay off $40,000 worth of debt. I think it was like $42,000 or $43,000. He wrote that down, came forward, and they prayed over everyone there, asking God to manifest his goodness and helping people reach their goals for the year 2012. Well, the next day after the prayer, the man goes to his, I think it was his ATM, but in some way he was trying to withdraw money from his account. And when he did, they notified him that he couldn't withdraw any money from his account, that they had put a freeze on it. And if he wanted more information, he would have to contact the branch manager. So he contacted the branch manager, wondering why a freeze had hit his account. And she told him, "Sir, someone last night deposited $18.2 million in your account." This is a true story. $18.2 million in your account. And she said, obviously, this is some type of clerical error. We've got to figure out who this money really belongs to. And so until we determine that, we're going to have to put a freeze on your account so you can't withdraw any of it. Well, anyway, after a couple of days, they notified him that they had found whose money it really was, that when the person was entering in that money, they typed in one wrong digit, and it took it to his account versus someone else's that it should have gone to. And he thought it was over, you know, at that point. The man whose money it really was, who was the owner of $18.2 million, called up the bank. And he said, "I want to know whose account you put it into," because they told him they had frozen that account. And he said, "I know it caused them some inconvenience, and I wanted to call them and just apologize for that inconvenience." And so they gave him the number of the man. He calls up the man and says, "Hey, I want to apologize. I know that that was a difficult situation, having a freeze put on your account. Is there anything I can do to make it up to you?" Well, when the man heard that on the other end of the line, he thought, "You know what? You have not because you ask not." So he said, "You know, now that you mention it," he said, this year I've been looking to pay off 40 some odd thousand dollars worth of debt." And before he could even finish the sentence, the man on the other end said, "Consider it done." Hung up the phone the next day, sent him a cashier's check to pay off all of that debt. Now, there may be some people in here, some people listening by podcast who says that's just coincidence. Well, if it is just coincidence, I'll take all the coincidence I can get. Friend, the favor of God can do some big, big, big things. Believe to see God's favor. Not only that, I heard another story of a lady who lives in Southern California. And her husband worked a job, but she had a lot of younger kids and couldn't go out and work because even if she did get a job, she couldn't find one that would pay her enough that would make up for the cost of daycare she would have to put her children in. And so she was staying at home, but the family was struggling financially. And she was wanting to be a blessing some way to her family in that arena. So she prayed about it and, you know, was asking the Lord for help and asking the Lord for a good idea that he could put his favor on. And one day she woke up and she had an idea to start making barrettes. Originally, it came from some barrettes that she had made for her younger daughters, and she had made them up and thought they looked real nice. So she just decided she would make some up and see if anyone wanted to sell them or buy them. And so she went out, got all the materials, and made up a couple of barrettes and just used her daughters basically as advertisement. And sure enough, and this is a small way that the favor of God works, sure enough, there was an owner of a little boutique that saw her girl one day and said, "Hey, where did you get your barrettes?" And she told her about her mom making it, that type of thing. And it led to this owner of the boutique calling the mom and saying, "Hey, basically, I want to be a blessing to you. You can put your boutiques or your barrettes in a corner of my boutique and sit it over there. And whatever they sell for, you get to keep 100% of the profit." And so she opened up the store, the boutique to her, and she went and found a little table to advertise the barrettes that she had, made some up to put them on display, sold a couple here or there. It cost her about 50 cents to make the barrette. She was able to sell them for $5 a piece, so every time she sold them, she made a profit of $4.50. And one particular day, this is how the favor of God works, friend. It can do some big things. One particular day, a lady walks into this boutique, and she shops around, and she comes across this table with all the barrettes on it. And she decides she wants to purchase all the barrettes. She goes up to the cash register there and she tells the lady, I want to buy all these barrettes, but not only that, I'd like to meet the maker of these barrettes and to call them. Do you have their number? And she said, I sure do. I have it right here. And so this lady called the lady who made the barrettes and said, I saw your barrettes. I think they're great. I bought all of them out of the store and I want to buy some more as well. And of course, the lady's thrilled. And she says, okay, how many do you want to buy? The lady said, I am the vice president of, I think it was Saks, for all of Southern California. And I'm in control of this department and I get to pick what I want going into all these stores here. She said, we want to run a test run with your barrettes. Can you get me 50,000 of them? And she said, sure. Well, she hadn't made that many barrettes before, but she definitely wasn't going to turn down that. And so she called in a team, and they assembled it, made $250,000 off of one order of barrettes, completely helping their family financially, paying off their home, delivering them from all debt. What is that? That's the favor of God, friend. That's the favor of God putting the right woman in front of the right product to help his people, to help his children, father their life, to make progress. I believe God wants to do some big things like that with his favor. But you know what? In order for God to do big things, we've got to give thanks for all the little things. That if we're not faithful stewards over the little things that he's brought into our life, and if we're not seeing God's goodness there, it's hard for him to manifest his goodness in bigger ways. I want you from this point forward to every time you see something good happen in your life, big or small, give God thanks for his goodness. Give him thanks for his hand of favor. You know, the other day I was looking at my Twitter feed, and Kim and Robert Berry, they're married. I talked about Robert last week. And anyway, they have a little child, a little cute baby Chase. I mean, this guy, he is just a cute baby. And they went up to take a little family vacation out to the Memphis Zoo. And they had tweeted on their Twitter feed that when they got up there, they came up to the place to pay to go into the zoo. And when they got up there to pay, someone else came and paid their way to go into the zoo. And they tweeted, we're walking in the fog. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Little things like that, give God thanks that the favor of God is on your life. I'll give you an example from my life. A couple of days ago, I ordered a Lego set for my son. I couldn't find it locally, so I ordered it from the Lego store. And they shipped it to me. It was just a $20 set. And when I opened up the box, I noticed that they sent two of the sets, even though I only paid for one. Now listen to me. That's not the favor of God. If you take that box, that's not God's favor. That's you stealing. That's not your box. That's the Lego company's box. So anyway, I called up the Lego store and I told them, hey guys, you made a shipping mistake. I want to do the honorable thing and ship it back to you. If you can just tell me where to send it. He said, well, let me check your order. He went through and he saw, sure enough, I only ordered one, but they did send two. And he said, you know what? He said, just keep the box. I said, are you authorized to do that kind of thing? You know, because I want to make sure I do the honorable thing. And some employees just want to, you know, they don't care. So I said, are you authorized to do it? He said, I'm authorized to keep the box. So I hung up the phone and said, honey, that was the favor of God. Then she told me, she said, you know what? I experienced some of the favor of God. She said, I think it was the other morning, she was at a restaurant eating breakfast with my son. Our little girl is in K-4, so she went out to breakfast with my son who's just turned 4. And anyway, he never eats pancakes, but on this particular day, he wanted a pancake. And so she got him one. And I mean, he just ate it up and was hungry for more. He wanted more pancakes. Well, about this time, the busboy at this restaurant came by and said, man, he really likes pancakes. And my wife said, yeah, he does. And he could eat some more. And so anyway, he walked away, the busboy did, and came back with a plate full of pancakes. And she said, that was the favor of God. And this morning in first service, I was preaching that, using that as an example. And I thought, maybe that's not the favor of God. Maybe that man was trying to hit on my wife. As I'm telling the story, I'm thinking that. And so anyway, I thought, in between services, I thought, there's only one way to tell. I'm going to have to go back with my son, just me. sit in that boy's section and let order just one pancake, let him eat it, and then talk about how, oh, he loves the pancakes. Oh, he could eat another pancake. And if that boy doesn't give me a pancake for my boy for free, we may have some words. But anyway, if any measure of any good thing comes in your life, it's because it came from God. Acknowledge the favor of God on your life. Acknowledge all the good things that you've seen take place in your life. And friends, this is probably never more true than when you're in a place that it seems like David was in the psalm we began with. I would have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of God. Friends, maybe there are some people in this place that in this season it seems like things aren't going right at all. That you're tired, that you're exhausted from what life has thrown your way. And it's so easy in those moments to be mindful of what's not right, what is not good in your life. But David made a decision to look beyond that and to believe to see God's goodness. I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Maybe there's nothing good that you can point to in your life right now, but don't you dare meditate on all of that stuff. We're so mindful on what's going on now that we forget all about then. The things God has done for us, the times He did promote us, the times He did take care of us, the times He was faithful for us. I want to encourage you to look back on those times and say, Father, You have been good to me. And I thank You, Lord, that even in this situation, I will see Your goodness come through for me once again. The other day, I was watching the Oprah deal where she was interviewing T.D. Jakes. And she went to his church and heard him preach. And T.D., I mean, he was preaching the house down. While I was watching, I said, Lord, just give me one service. Just one service where I could preach like T.D. Just one. That's all I'm asking. Just give me one. Because T.D., I mean, he was preaching just like he always does. And you could see even the lights coming on to Oprah and the people she was with. And anyway, what he was preaching on was the story of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, you know, think about that story, that in that moment, Jesus was looking to feed a multitude, but there was not enough to feed them. And they asked, well, what do we have to work with? And one of the disciples spoke up and said, Lord, we have a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many? In essence, he's saying, the need is so great, but the supply is so little. What we have right now is not enough. But I love what T.D. said. He said, notice what happened, though, when they put it in Jesus' hands. They put what was not enough in the hands of Jesus. And when Jesus had that in his hands, he didn't complain about it. He didn't murmur about it. He didn't focus on it. Instead, the Bible says that he gave thanks and he blessed it. And T.D. said something in that service. I DVR'd it, so I kept rewinding it and listening to it. He said that until you are thankful for what is not enough and give thanks in that place, you will never have the blessing of seeing what is not enough turn into more than enough. And friends, I'm telling you, that is the honest to God's truth. You may be at a place in your life right now where what you have doesn't seem like it's enough. That's not the time to complain. That's not the time to grow weary in well-doing. That's the time to start giving thanks that God is at work, that He will turn this situation around, that God's hand of favor is coming in a greater and brand new way to deliver you out of this. Give God thanks that you're walking in the fog. The favor of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you before you leave. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to open up Your word to these Your people. And Lord, we thank You that all of us come up higher and press into deeper dimensions of Your favor. Father, we thank You that we believe to see the goodness of You in this life. Father, we thank You that Your favor, it is promoting us. But all the while it is promoting us, we will be diligent to notice all the good things that are all around us each and every day that so oftentimes we can seemingly take for granted. Father, we thank You. We open up our eyes to the favor that's all around us. And we determine to give You thanks for the good things that are in our lives. We love you, Lord, so much. We thank you we're increasing in favor. You will be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. At the end of service today, if you need prayer,